Our scripture for this evening is taken from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, a familiar portion of scripture to most of us. I appreciated the message this morning, Brother Jeff. I thought that was an excellent message, and it certainly was a challenging message to me. I got in an argument one time with someone who was, he was arguing the reality of hell, and I said, well, I'm not going to call Jesus a liar. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation. We believe that all Scripture is inspired of God. Therefore, it's true. And a lot of people can't accept the fact that, well, if the Bible is true, then we're accountable for our actions, and we're going to have to give an answer to a holy God. And I think we need to keep this in mind as we go through our days. Verse 3 says there about, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. We need to hang on to the truth. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let's bow for a word of prayer.
Thank you, brother, for that prayer. And thank all of you, too, for your prayer on my behalf this evening. As I was asked to take this responsibility some weeks ago, I was thinking about a topic, and one of the first things that came to my mind was to speak on heaven and hell. I think it's probably best that I didn't keep on that topic. Brother Jeff covered somewhat that issue a little bit this morning, and so I decided to select something else. Jeff was talking a little bit later this morning in his message about Felix, and this is really interesting. Felix had an opportunity to make a decision, a good decision, and a right decision. He had all the information he needed to do that, but he made the wrong decision, unfortunately, and it was the most important decision really that a person can make in his or her life, and that is to accept Christ. I praise God that we had one person this morning that made the right decision as a result of the invitation that was given. Praise God for that. So the message this evening is just simply entitled Decisions. And I'm thinking about godly decisions and making godly decisions. And Brother Ray even mentioned the word decisions in his comments just a few minutes ago. So I feel somewhat comfortable that the topic of decisions is what I was supposed to share this evening. Well, you know, life seems to be made up of endless decisions, doesn't it? Day in and day out. Even a one-year-old makes decisions, and each of us make decisions all through our lives. And we make hundreds of decisions, most of us, in each day. Now, sometimes I think, how do we make 100 decisions? But probably a lot of the decisions we do make, we don't even think about. And certainly we're not trying to count how many decisions we make. I read that there are some people who actually make thousands of decisions in a day, and one estimate of 5,000. Now that I really wonder about, 5,000 decisions in a day. Well, maybe a person has a particular job that requires a lot of decision making throughout the day, perhaps. The point I'm trying to make is that we make a lot of decisions, and we want to make the right decision, of course, but that doesn't always happen. When we make decisions, sometimes the decision is not really all that important or major. For example, we get up in the morning. We might make a decision the night before as to what time we're going to get up. We make a decision about what clothes to wear. We make a decision about where perhaps we're going to have lunch the next day. But they're relatively minor. We don't even really concentrate much about those decisions. But then you have other decisions that are more important, like, who should I marry? What occupation should I select for myself? Or maybe, should I move to another state for a job? Those decisions, of course, are much more important. And then, even beyond that, we have decisions which are a matter of life and death. Yes, life and death. And the longer we live, the more likely each one of us will experience that at some time in our lives. Hopefully not too many times do we have to make a life or death decision, but it can happen. So I was thinking as I got into this preparation for the message that decision making, godly decision making especially, really is important. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And maybe we can pick up a few things tonight that would be of help to each one of us as we make decisions each day of our lives. Well, here's an example of a decision that is a life or death matter. And you probably heard about this a few weeks ago. It's really unfortunate, but it did happen. And that is that terrorist group in Africa, Nigeria, Boko Haram, has attacked a number of schools in that area, northern Nigeria primarily, which is mostly Muslim. And in one particular news article I remember reading about, these terrorists attacked this school, public school, and they asked the students what their religion was. And so if the students said Christian, they were singled out, put off into a separate group of people, and they were killed. If the student would say Muslim and be lying about it, they were generally asked to quote a few scripture verses, or surahs as they're called, in the Quran. If they couldn't do that, they were executed. So there was a case of a life or death situation where lying about it probably didn't help, unless a person could quote some verses of the Quran, that is. So there are instances where decision making is extremely important, and there are times when we have to make quick decisions that we don't have a whole lot of time to think about. So I want to talk a little bit about some people in the Bible who made decisions. And some of these individuals I selected were fairly knowledgeable. You would know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm going to pick some different scriptures and maybe part of the scripture. And you try to figure out who's doing the talking. Now, this is primarily for children and older people. Anyone really who understands what I'm saying, this is for you tonight. And especially for younger people, I mean children, and I don't see too many really young people here tonight, but most of these individuals in the Bible who made wrong decisions, you will know rather quickly. But you know, it's not just making wrong decisions that we need to be concerned about. We also have a time factor involved in decision making. Let's say you're driving down the road and it's the winter time and the road is rather icy, and all of a sudden your car starts to slide sideways. Do you have time to think about what to do? No. You probably instinctively turn the steering wheel to counteract the skid, right? So you make an immediate decision just out of instinct, more or less, to solve the problem. So that's a decision that's made instantly. Then you have some decisions that give you a little bit more time, maybe minutes or hours, maybe even a few days. And I'll give you a personal example of that one. Quite a few years ago, I had a summer job between college years. And the job involved working at a place that prepared frozen food. And I was asked to go in this huge walk-in freezer. I'd say it was as large as this auditorium. Huge, huge freezer. One large room. And it was about minus 15 degrees Fahrenheit in there. And the man that I was working with, he said, I have to leave. I'm going out. You just work in here for 5 or so minutes yet, and then you can come out. Because it was so cold, it was like 90 degrees outside, but minus 15 in there, so you had to have a coat on. You couldn't even tolerate minus 15 too long. The air was just blowing all over the inside of that room there. And so this man left, and about 5 minutes later, I went over to the door, and I couldn't figure out how to get out. And I was thinking about this. There was no indication, nothing written there on the inside, no safety placard or anything like that. And I made a few bad decisions that got me in that predicament. And the situation was rather quickly turning into a possible life or death matter. Being locked in a freezer at minus 15, I'm not sure how long a person could survive. I found out that at such temperatures, you lose your energy very quickly, and your mind, it doesn't want to work right. You can't think as clearly as you ought to be able to. And so there I was. In fact, I can remember sitting down on the floor and thinking, somebody's going to read about me in the newspaper tomorrow. Well, obviously that didn't happen, but I really thought it was going to happen. So I had minutes or hours to get out of the freezer. God got me out. It really wasn't my doing. But that was the result of some bad decisions on my part that got me into that predicament. Then we have some situations that are, let's say, long-term as far as the decisions that need to be made. It may be weeks that we have to decide. It may be months, even years, to make a decision. For example, suppose you're considering full-time missionary service. Well, it may take you quite a while to decide whether you feel called to do that and whether that is a goal in your life. So, realizing that decisions not only impact ourselves, but can impact other people, which it quite often does, we really should try to make the right decision. Nobody wants to make a wrong choice, but obviously many of us, and in searching the Bible, a lot of people made wrong decisions. And so even though God gives us intelligence and a mind to think, to reason, to look up information, gather data and all that, sometimes even with that ability that God gives us, we still do the wrong thing. Why is it? Well, you know, we've all inherited a sin nature, right? I think that's part of it. The fact that we have a sin nature, all of us. The fact that the devil is always trying to pull us down, is always really trying to make us make a mistake. So a lot of the problem, I think, is due to Satan and his devious ways, as well as demons. However, you know, as Christians, we need to be very careful about our decisions. And it's very important that we understand Bible principles on how to make decisions that will be honoring to God. And I think we can do that. Now, let's take a look at some of these people I was alluding to. Some of the people in the Bible who made bad decisions. And as I did some research on this, I found that there were a fair number of people who made bad decisions in the Bible. They weren't too difficult to find. But when I got to the point where trying to find people who made good decisions, it seemed like it was much more difficult to find people who made good decisions. Maybe that's just indicative of the fact that we're all prone to make mistakes. You know, it doesn't matter if it was 2,000 years ago or whether it's today, it's easy to make a mistake. So here are some examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament of people who made mistakes. And young people or children, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but, and even the rest of us here, you'll know who this individual was and what the mistake was, and I'll mention it as I get finished reading it. All right, here we go. An excerpt from a verse in most cases. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband. Well, that's easy, isn't it? That was Eve, of course, and that wrong decision has affected humanity ever since she did that, as well as what her husband did, Genesis 3:6. How about this mistake or wrong decision? He chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan because it was well watered. That was Lot. And when Abram gave him the choice of whatever he wanted, remember they were going to separate and go their ways. And Abram said to Lot, it's your choice. Go that way. I get the feeling that he took what he thought was going to be the best. You know, he was looking out for his own self, basically, I think. Lot was, anyway. Unfortunately, the valley had a primary city, which was very sinful. And so Lot ended up in a very sinful place as a result of his decision. Genesis 13. Here's another one. Now, this one is going to be more difficult. See if you can think about who said this. This is, again, part of a verse. But he forsook the counsel of the old men and consulted with the young men. Well, that comes from 1 Kings. Rehoboam. Now, the people were treated harshly. And they came to the king and they said, "Can't you lift this burden?" So the king talks to the elders, the old people. Really, they were elders. And they give him good advice. But does he listen to them? No. He listens to a group of younger men who tell him to tell the people that their burdens will get worse, not better. And so because this king did not follow the advice of the elders, he made a wrong decision and made life very, very difficult for the people, much worse than it was prior to that. So that was a wrong decision on the king's part. Here's another one. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship which was going to Tarshish. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Maybe he didn't think too much of the people of Nineveh. So he decided, "I'm not going there." So he goes in the opposite direction. So Jonah chapter 1. And one more, which is fairly simple. And as I say, I selected most of these for children because they're fairly simple. Then he went to the chief priests and said, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" That was, of course, Judas Iscariot, taken from Matthew 26. Well, you know, when we make a wrong decision, most of the time, God will let us, well, suffer through it, maybe, to chastise us, maybe, to teach us a lesson, maybe. I suppose there have been times when a person made a wrong decision and God extricated, I guess you'd say, or got that person out of the predicament that he got in as a result of his wrong decision. But most of the time, I think God lets us, if we make a wrong decision, he lets us suffer the consequences of our decision. In these examples I just gave you, there were one or two things, in some cases two different things, that each person did that was wrong. Now think about it, just a few seconds. Each one of those individuals did at least one or two things which were wrong. General thoughts here I'm thinking about. First of all, they either didn't seek God's help first before they made the decision, or they listened to someone else like Rehoboam and followed the wrong advice, didn't listen to godly advice. The other thing that most of these people did or did not do is they did not do what God told them to do. So they either didn't listen to God, or if God told them to do a certain thing, they didn't do it. Or they listened to bad advice. That's what got all those people in trouble, and a lot of other people in the Bible as well who made wrong decisions. Now, here are some examples of people who made the right decision. And he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." That was Caleb. Numbers 13, Caleb and Joshua came back from the promised land, gave a good report, and the rest of the people said, "No, we can't take that land. There are giants there and all kinds of other things, and there's no way we can conquer the land." Caleb made the right decision. He said the right thing. How about this one? "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Ruth said that to Naomi. Ruth was a Moabitess, remember? Naomi wanted her to go back to Moab, country of Moab, but Ruth was insistent upon staying with Naomi. She made the right decision. Next example, and she said, "Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman." Well, that gives it away, doesn't it? Haman. You know, Esther, every time I read that book, I think that's the best, to me anyway, I think I enjoy that book in the Old Testament more than any other, the book of Esther. Just because, at least in my opinion, it shows how God works in mysterious ways. Who would have thought that what happened in the book of Esther could have taken place? It didn't look that way, at least in the beginning, that's for sure. So Esther put her life at risk coming before the king to save her people, the Jews. "And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Now, one of the apostles did that, and that was Matthew in Matthew chapter 9. And finally, one more individual who made the right decision. "If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Taken from Luke chapter 19, and that, of course, is Zacchaeus. Well, you know, also in decision-making, especially in the Old Testament, there were several methods that were used. Most of the time, people relied on signs or the casting of lots to make decisions, primarily back in Old Testament times, but not all Old Testament times. You can find examples of lots being used in the New Testament. For example, Gideon used a fleece of wool in Judges chapter 6 to be sure of God's will. Remember? Whether it would collect dew and nothing else gets wet, and the reverse. But some people think that because Gideon was so intent on getting a sign from God, some people think, at least in what I was reading about this, they think that he was weak in the faith because he needed a sign. He needed a sign. You know, it wasn't just the fleece, it was other things. He needed a sign before he was sure of the decision he was supposed to make. And some people think he must have been weak in the faith. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Casting of lots were used quite often to make decisions. Again, mostly in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the lot itself could have been a stick, a piece of wood of different lengths. It could have been a straw, ordinary straw, different lengths. Sometimes small stones, but still different sizes, but generally small, were used. Even dice were used. In Nehemiah 11, here's an Old Testament example of lots. The Israelites cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. Casting of lots. Well, I said that most of the lot casting as a way of decision making was done in the Old Testament, and the reason for it, I think, and what I learned, was it was done primarily up until the time of Pentecost. Up until the time of Pentecost, or around that time period, because it was at the Pentecost where the Holy Spirit was given in its fullness. So, think about this. If the Holy Spirit wasn't given until Pentecost, or about that time period, then the people of the Old Testament time didn't have the Holy Spirit to rely on to help them in decision making. Now, if you have any comments about that, you see me after we're finished here. If you have some different idea about that, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, let me know what you think about it. But it makes sense to me that prior to Pentecost, the use of casting of lots and signs was more prevalent. After the Holy Spirit was given, then people had the Holy Spirit to help them in their decision-making process. Well, in the New Testament, for example, the use of lots, one example. Remember, Judas was replaced by Matthias by the use of lots. Okay, that was one example in the New Testament. But lots can also be used for evil purposes. Remember when Christ was crucified, the soldiers decided to cast lots for his robe, right? So there was a case of casting lots in the New Testament, which was for an evil purpose. So the lots could be used for good, they could be used for evil. Just like we can make decisions that are good and bad, sinful. Well, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be within us if we claim to be a Christian. And there really shouldn't be any need for us to use signs, I don't think, or even cast lots to make decisions. I'm not saying it's wrong necessarily. I know there are some groups today that do cast lots in the decision-making process to find an answer to maybe who should serve in a particular leadership position. But no, I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't take me the wrong way. But especially for signs, I don't see the need to have to use signs. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit to help us to make decisions. Well, a fair number of decisions are easy to make. We know that. If it's a clear case of right or wrong, if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. What is there to decide? Not much. If we claim to be a Christian and we follow God's word, and God's word says you shouldn't do this, and we're confronted with a decision related to that command, we know what the answer is. Don't do it. When God gives a clear command, we should obey it. But sometimes that's not always the case. We may not have a clear command. The correct choice maybe isn't obvious, but there are some biblical principles that we can follow to help us in such situations like that where the Bible doesn't give us a clear answer on what to do. And here are some thoughts about biblical principles. And this might be the most important part of the message this evening, and we'll wrap up the message. If we have time to make a decision, these steps that I'm going to share with you don't apply, obviously, to decisions that have to be made instantly. You don't have time to think. You don't have time to research. You don't have time to hardly even pray. You may not have time. You have to make a decision instantly. These steps don't really apply to that type of situation. But the first step in this process of following biblical principles is to pray about it. That's the first thing that really should be done. I think it's awfully important to start each morning, each day that we have, in a brief prayer to God and asking Him to give us wisdom to get through the day. Because we all are confronted with problems every day of our lives, no doubt. And we need God's wisdom. We need wisdom. The Bible says to ask for it. But we need to also be in tune with God's word. We need to be following God's word. We can't be violating scripture and then expect God to help us in our decision making. That's what I'm trying to say. So, if we pray about it, whatever the issue is that we have to make a decision about it, that will help us to keep closer to God and His will in what the decision should be. You know, if we're following God's word, praying each day, seeking God's will for our lives, we can rest assured that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we're getting the truth. Second point is to obey God's word. We already mentioned something about that. If the Bible's clear about it, simple obedience is the right response. Just obey it, whatever the decision is. If God's word addresses it, just obey it, and that's that. Some people complicate a decision because they think that what the Bible says doesn't apply to their situation. So how do they get around it? Quite often they'll find a translation of the Bible, which is liberal, and says basically what they want to hear. You know, I think personally we should use the King James Version. But there are so many versions out there, you can almost find a version that'll say whatever you want to read. If you need to make a decision about something, you really want to do it, but you know, the King James says something about that, I shouldn't do that. So you find another Bible that says, oh, well, it's no problem. That's how some people get around the situation. They don't obey God's word because they're using a false translation. Number three, apply biblical principles, and we're talking about them right now. When there's no clear command to follow, and you're still not sure about whether an activity, let's say, is right or wrong, there are two principles. Number one is the doubt principle. The doubt principle. According to Romans chapter 14, in verses 21 to 23, we should not engage in activities if we are unsure as to whether they are appropriate. We should not engage in activities unless we're sure they are appropriate to us. So, that's the doubt principle. I used to tell my students when I was in school, a lot of times, you know, students in the public school and a lot of other situations and places and so on, they don't always think before they act, and they do things which are wrong without thinking about the consequences of their actions. That happens, especially with younger people. Maybe you're not too mature. So I would sometimes say, you know, if you have to think twice about something, maybe you shouldn't do it. That's the doubt principle. The other principle is really a principle of association, and that simply says that if you have a decision to make that involves associating with other people, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says that we should abstain from all appearance of evil. So, if we have a decision to make about a certain activity that might take us into a group of people who may not be doing everything right? That is the association principle. The Holy Spirit will convict us. I really believe it. If we're living for the Lord and following His word and seeking His will, the Holy Spirit will convict us of whether we should go there and participate in that activity or whether we shouldn't. I really believe that. The fourth step is to seek godly counsel. If necessary, and sometimes it is, a decision might be too involved for an individual to completely understand and make the right choice. Sometimes we need help from other people. Having other people give us advice is wise and godly according to Proverbs 15:22. And remember, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. So there's nothing wrong with asking another brother in the church for help in decision making, for advice, for support. In fact, isn't that one of the things the church really is supposed to do? We are supposed to support each other, help each other when there are needs that arise. Help each other make decisions, perhaps, yes? Well, that was step four. You know, after going through those four steps and you still don't know what to do in your decision making, maybe God is trying to tell you to wait. Maybe He's trying to say the time isn't right yet. Wait a while. It might be a long time, but maybe God wants you to wait. And if that's the case, we need to be willing to accept that as the decision that God made for us. Well, suppose you are confronted with this situation. There are two options you have. You have to select one. And both options are excellent choices. And you don't know which one to select. So now what? You have to make a decision about one of two different things, but they're both right, proper, godly. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the options. You could go either way, and you're not sure which one to select. Well, Psalm 37:4 has your answer. It says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." In other words, choose the one that you like the best. As simple as that. That's what that verse is saying. Choose the one you most desire. There's nothing wrong with either of them, so choose the one you most desire. But remember that this implies that you are walking with God, you are following His commands, and if we are not doing that, then we can't trust necessarily our decision-making process. Remember that the promise is for those who are right in the sight of God. And if we're not right in God's sight, we may make the wrong choice, because Satan will likely cast doubt into our decision if we're not walking with the Lord. Well, if you're confident in the decision that you've made and you feel sure that that's what God wants you to do, then do it. Complete it. Follow through until the end. Make it your goal. Don't stop halfway through. Seek God's will, and he'll see you through it, because that was the right decision that you needed to make. That's about all that I have to share on decision making. I guess there are other things that could have been said. I didn't realize, as I say, at first, I was wondering, what really is there to say about decision making? And yet I realize there's a lot to be said, and it's all very important. Because the decisions we make, and we've all made wrong decisions in life, and sometimes you know what happened when you made a wrong decision. It may have taken your life in a different direction because of the decision you made. And if we make a wrong decision, we have to live with it sometimes. So we want to be careful and seek God's will in our decision making.
Brother Tom said on the onstart of his message that we all have to make a lot of decisions. Well, one of the decisions that we had to make today was, are we going to come to the house of worship tonight? And I'm sure that all of you feel just like I do. We didn't make the wrong decision to come here. I'm glad I come here to hear this message tonight. Shall we stand for a word of prayer?